This episode is brought to you by our sponsors on Patreon. Our tiny 501c3 charity is fundraising, and we need your support. Sponsor this show and our amazing team at A Better Love Project today by going to patreon.com/A Better Love Project. Welcome back to A Better Love. I'm your host, Dr. Greg, with my friend, Bruna Nassif, a wise person here you need to listen to. She's back, ladies and gentlemen. Bruna, thank you so much for coming back.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to have this conversation. So today we're talking about the shadow. Mm-hmm. And what if you just were going to tell our listeners, what is the shadow? Why do we need to be concerned about it if we're thinking about healthy relationships, starting healthy relationships, being in healthy relationships?
The shadow for me, and of course, I know you'll give your psychological take. Yeah. For me, the shadow is the aspects of ourselves that are still sort of lingering in the unconscious. And so just because we're not conscious of them doesn't mean that they don't still show up. They just maybe run on autopilot, or they tend to be so slick that we don't notice them. And oftentimes, in my experience, the shadow has come up in ways that aren't necessarily helpful in the types of relationships I want to cultivate, or in the type of person that I am trying to be or consider myself to be. And so shadow work, which is something that we talk a lot about in, you know, spiritual spaces and mystic spaces, is really about giving yourself the opportunity to face your shadow, because your shadow is never going to go away. It exists because you exist. Yeah. And so at least trying to become more knowledgeable about what your shadow looks like, maybe what their wounds are and why they show up the way that they do, so that you can become conscious of the unconscious. And therefore, it's no longer impulsive reactions. It's a conscious response.
Okay. So I love all of that. It makes sense to me. And so it's not too far off from where I thought the conversation would go. Thank God. You know what I mean?
What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. Who knows? Well, listen, I believe that the spiritual realm, right, that part of our existence, if we do believe in those things, and I have all the admiration in the world for people who may not believe in those things, but for people who believe in those things, the imagination is the limits of what you might say, in my view. Anyway, so I'm hearing these are parts of ourselves, in other words, right? There are aspects of ourselves, Bruna, that are outside of our maybe awareness more readily. If I'm saying anything that you already know, my dear listeners, my apologies. But let me tell you just really quickly about my version of my understanding of the shadow. Mm-hmm. That comes from Carl Jung. Mm-hmm. This idea that of archetypes in our existence, both individually and also, you know, you could talk about it spiritually, you could talk about it community, population-wide, whatever you want to. But basically there are, and I don't know actually how different they are. As a writer, how different is an archetype, would you say, from a trope?
I guess to me, an archetype would be more of like a role, perhaps. Mm-hmm. A trope is more of the story. So I think there's a lot of overlap and connection, but there's a difference between, you know, taking on the role of the maiden or whatever, and then the story that creates or perpetuates why that role continues to exist.
Yeah. So one example, let me give a very concrete example. I'll use myself here, because yesterday I was on this podcast called Dateable. I don't know if you've ever, and I was having this conversation with the two hosts, and all of a sudden I'm like disclosing all these things, and they're pitching me as a potential date to the Los Angeles community. Anyway, one of the things that I think about in terms of shadow, like what aspect of myself, this is not only is it might be outside of my awareness, as you're saying, Bruna, right? But for me specifically, what aspect of myself is there maybe shame around or embarrassment, or I don't like that part, right? So the part of myself, here we go, let's just use this. And I want to hear what, if you want to go there, feel free to. But like, I have that part of myself that is the narcissistic fucking mean person.
Angry.
The angry fucking mean narcissistic person who doesn't give a shit what's going on, because, you know, so I have that in me because I grew up with examples of that in my community the men who I grew up around. And so I don't like when that shit comes up in my relationships in any regard, platonic or otherwise. So am I on track with what we're talking about when it comes to like the shadow, like that part of ourselves? Are we talking about the same thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. What do we need to what are the benefits to understanding the parts of ourselves that we're less fond of?
Well, I feel like with anything, you can't begin to heal what you're not aware of, because you can't fix something that you don't even know is broken. And so for me, becoming aware of my shadow, and especially the triggers that bring her out, or the wounds that keep her alive in these types of ways, help me to be more mindful of, oh, okay, this just happened, and usually this is how I would react, or this is what I would do. And it got to the point where I would literally feel like I'm almost reading a script. Like I would catch myself saying things to people, and I'm like, oh, this is verbatim what I said to this person. And so it's almost like my subconscious is literally like pulling dialogue from other experiences and is like, hey, this feels similar. Say this shit again. And then I'm just like in the same situation yet again. And so for me, again, this is about breaking the loops, right? And it's very easy for me to recognize when I'm caught in a loop of something, whether that's a specific energy of a person, whether that's a specific type of relationship, or whether that's a specific wound of mine that is continuously being brought out so that I can finally tend to it and pay attention to it.
And that's possible. And that's possible to pay attention to it, to attend to it and get better and be in a more grounded
possible.
Position. Yeah. Good, good, good. I believe in this kind of change, my friends. I know it's possible. I've seen it in many, many of my clients, and I see it in the evidence. There is so much potential for us to spend a little bit of time with ourselves to recognize the parts that we're less fond of, and maybe therefore spend less time thinking about, or maybe even avoiding thinking about as parts of our, right?
And misplacing, like putting that on, other people, blame or always making it about someone else or about something else, or oh, there they go again, or they do. And it's like, where are you taking responsibility for your role in whatever is being played out right now? Because you're very much also a part of it. And I think that's the area that gets tricky, because a lot of people don't want to do that, because you're going to have to start taking accountability for things that aren't easy to recognize in yourself. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, I'm manipulative. Interesting. How does that come out? Oh, I'm actually incredibly insecure, and this is how that comes out. Or, very different things that cannot begin to heal and move forward until you are able to accept, this is a very real thing for me that comes out in whatever dynamic. But relationships is usually a big one.
It wasn't last week. It was maybe a couple of weeks ago you were on the show and you talked about this, showing up on a date and just being yourself so that the other person actually has a chance to praise you accurately.
And get to know you. Yeah.
And if you're a little bit of an asshole, then just be a little bit of an asshole on the first date. So how can we actually show up in a way and make sure that we're catching these pieces? Like, what is the first step, action step here? Like, how do you begin the process of turning inward, being more insightful, being more curious? What does that look like for people? Maybe if they haven't done it, or maybe their partner hasn't done it.
Well, the partner part is more tricky, because you can't control whether or not someone's ready to do this work, or if they're willing to. So again, it's always a focus on self. So for me, if it is a partner situation and I'm noticing like my partner's doing this and that, in a loving, compassionate, respectful way, I may want to bring this to their attention. Hey, I notice that whenever we talk about this, there's an energy of defensiveness, or, you seem to get upset. or whatever else. Let's talk about it and start planting the seeds and seeing if that's something they care to, you know, dive a little further into. But again, it's all about yourself. So if you're in a place where you're like, maybe this is some work I need to do, everyone's different. Everyone has a different healing style, learning style, whatever else. For me, parts of my shadow actually aided in this, because parts of the shadow for me was perfectionism, was seeking validation through achievement, was, you know, work, you know, trying to prove myself. And so I knew this about myself. And instead I took that and I was like, well, I'm going to manipulate myself, since I can manipulate and I've learned that about myself too. I'm going to manipulate myself into using that energy to heal the parts of myself that I don't necessarily care for. So I made that my next project, you know, instead of focusing on the next guy I'm dating or the whoever and making them the project, I was the project. And so it took a lot of uncomfortable conversations. It took with myself first and foremost, and then also the people around me. I pay attention to everything. Like, it's also just part of my nature. I'm very perceptive. I'm insightful. It's part of, like, you know, the intuition and the reading energy and all of that as well. I can't turn it off. It's just part of who I am. Yeah. So I am also part of that experience. You know, I'm not exempt to it just because I'm doing it.
Yeah.
When I'm noticing, again, going back to these loops or the synchronicities, or why does this word keep coming up, or why do I keep having conflict around this specific thing? To me, that is a sign that my attention is needed on this specific area.
To heal it, or whatever you're saying, right? To focus on it. Yeah.
Or just to ask questions. You know, I come from a journalism background. I'm great at asking questions, constantly have questions about everything. I'm a naturally curious person. And so part of, again, my shadow, because of what I experienced growing up a lot and what I was used to and could easily pull from, because it's right there, was shame, was judgment, was criticism. And to me, it's like, what do you mean? This is just like, it's how people talk.
How people talk to each other. Yeah.
Right. And so it was breaking that by replacing the judgment and the criticism with curiosity, instead of being like, shit, Bruna, there you go again, saying this bullshit. And now da, da, da. It was like, why do you always say that? You know, where did that come from? When did you first hear it? When did this work for you? What does this protect you from? And protection is a huge thing, I think, when it comes to shadow work.
Okay, pause there. Cause I need to just absorb.
Okay, let's do
things
this.
That you said.
Become a sponge.
It's important to me. I think you're talking, are you in part talking about self-acceptance here? Is you recognize that you're vulnerable enough with yourself to recognize whatever it is, like, okay, this happens, this comes, and then you focus on it and you wanna be aware of it, and then you wanna shift the loop or the pattern or the script. Am I tracking what you're saying right now? Or
it's more so just the awareness is to aid in understanding why the shadow comes out, you know? And again, this is my personal experience. So acceptance is key. Absolutely. To me, if there was a goal, I think a lot of times people misinterpret shadow work as, oh, I'm meant to get rid of my shadow. I'm meant to like figure out who they are, what their triggers are, and then just eradicate it. And that's unrealistic. It just doesn't happen. Duality is a huge part of spirituality. The shadow, which is often bundled up with darkness, with evil, with all of these things, which just, again, perpetuate the story that your shadow is not meant to, that ding was confirmation, by the way, your shadow is not meant to exist, you know, like, ooh, this is your nemesis now, and you have evil to be the one, right?
Okay.
Not the case at all. You know, in the work that I've done with myself and with other people, I led a shadow work program actually last year with a group of women. And more often than not, what you find is that the shadow is actually your inner child throwing a tantrum to get your attention, over the areas that it continues to feel slighted over. And so that's why when the shadow comes out, you start acting like a kid sometimes, because you revert back to that mentality. And so the acceptance is key, because at the end of the day, the self-work is hopefully moving to a deeper understanding of love, starting with yourself. And I don't know that I believe love can exist if acceptance does not.
No, it can't. No, it can't. I mean, love can exist. Shitty love can exist, but not a fierce, healthy, passionate love. A fierce, healthy, passionate love exists in a place of emotional vulnerability and in a secure attachment with someone who sees all the wildness that you have in you, because I have wildness in me.
Yeah.
And each of us does. This is the point of the whole story, ladies and gentlemen. We need to love ourselves in a way that's accepting of the parts of us that we don't like that may come out because of childhood shit. Now's your chance to support this show and our charity by picking up one of our Love Each Other Fiercely hoodies. They are super comfy and perfect for that fall weather. Look for a Better Love Project store on bonfire.com. The link will be in our show notes today.
Okay. I'm feeling this way right now because this is reminding me of X, Y, and Z. And because of that, I now feel unsafe. I feel like I'm in danger. I feel threatened. I feel whatever it is. And the important part about tapping into that acceptance for yourself is ultimately we treat other people the way we treat ourselves. And so if you can't even accept the parts of yourselves that may require a little more compassion or understanding, yeah, chances are you're not very compassionate or understanding with other people.
Rude. You're screwed if you're married or with someone like that.
Right. Or you just expect them, to be a specific, like you expect them to fit a very specific box.
Yeah.
And no one can really do that. And so it's really interesting. This stuff fascinates me. That's why I love to talk about it.
And it's important.
It is important because, you know, again, in the spiritual community, you hear it a lot, love and light, love and light, love and light. And yes, love and light and shadow. You know, light would not exist without the shadow and vice versa. Just like day wouldn't exist without night. You know, like a lot of this experience is through the other, like identifying through that polar opposite that allows you to exist. And so to completely denounce your shadow because you've decided it's bad or evil or whatever else and isn't worth the time, now you are perpetuating the very thing that creates it, you know, because you're giving it that same type of lack of love, lack of time, lack of patience that makes it come out the way that it does. You need to treat it like a child who is begging you for some parenting, for some love, for some time to sit with it and to talk about what's coming up.
I'm tuning in here to my TikTok audience. Mm-hmm. Jess, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist out in Missouri or Minnesota, one of the two. Jess, I think, is going to be a new sponsor, so I better get that right soon, Bruno. But she says, reminds me of the parts work, air network. I don't know what that is, Jess. You're going to have to enlighten us all. But Arian says, I think relationships are the biggest way to heal. Bruno and I talked about this, you know, this idea of like there's healing that happens for yourself. And then there's also this beautiful healing that can happen in relationships. We don't want to seek out people just to fucking heal though. We want to get as far along as we can on our own. And that takes reaching out and saying, oh, hold on a second. Let me use one example, a dark side example. Anger is an expression of emotion, right? That we may interpret, particularly, hey, I'm going to just speak for myself. If you're around people who are yelling or angry or apparently angry often, and if you've grown up in a lot of the houses in Portugal and Europe and everywhere else, very traditional houses, there's a lot of this kind of stuff. You may interpret the expression of anger or whatever in a particular way. All of a sudden, you don't express that anymore. You avoid that part of yourself. And now the energy, whatever it is that, right, whatever it is that you wanted to express to somebody, a partner, a friend, about a need that you have, you don't, because the energy that comes with anger is also similar to assertiveness, just mm-hmm. being assertive in a relationship. Yeah. So all of a sudden you step so far back from anger, now you're not even fucking assertive anymore. And we want everybody to be assertive in love. Find someone assertive in love. Would you agree with me, Bruna? Assertive in love?
Yeah, absolutely on that. But yeah, I think anger is a interesting example too, because so many things. One, anger is a secondary emotion, right? Usually. It's like, I always say anger is the bodyguard for whatever is underneath. And anger is a very socially acceptable emotion to have, especially for men. You know, the women that I've spoken to and myself included, anger was never a celebrated thing to be able to express as a woman. And so that's a part for a lot of women in the shadow. It's a repressed emotion. And anger isn't allowed to come out. We can be sad, you know, like people are fine if a woman is sad and expresses emotion in that way. But if we're angry, it's like, wait, whoa, what is this? We're not used to this. Whereas for men, more often than not, anger is what is socially acceptable.
Well, so you said earlier, you said, well, this is how we talk to each other, right? We just scream at each other, or we just whatever, right? Or we just express anger and not sadness and other things.
But that's also where, again, going back to the duality and the balance. And again, I know that like these are like very heteronormative, like a scale that's not inclusive of everything. But for this example, the women in this society who feel repressed from showing anger because now they get labeled 101 other things, that's part of sort of the collective shadow work, right? Because there's always like the macro to the micro. So part of the macro shadow work is people understanding that like, yes, women are angry. Are you kidding? We're human beings. Of course we're angry, and we have a right to showcase that. Yeah. Whereas on the other end for men, we understand men are angry, but we also need to give them spaces to be able to dig deeper into what that anger is protecting. And for a lot of men, it's hurt. Like it's pain, it's sadness. It's a lot of things that for women, you wouldn't think twice about a woman showcasing this expression, but for a man, all of a sudden it's an issue. And so that's the part of this that blows my mind, is we continuously sort of pit each other against each other when we're really all struggling to just feel whatever it is we're feeling.
Yeah.
And that's the shadow work, is giving people, giving yourself that grace and time to feel whatever is coming up. And then also understanding like, wow, this other person might be going through some shit too. Mm-hmm. So maybe I should just hold some space, or if it's too triggering for me, just take myself out of the equation for a little bit and take some time. But
listen to everything that Bruna is saying. And if you're not already following Bruna, follow her on TikTok and Instagram. You can find her Instagram at Bruna Nassif. Ladies and gentlemen who are hanging out with me on TikTok, anything fully resourced self, Jess says. Angelica says, spot on, Bruna.
Thanks, Angelica.
Yeah. And Jess also talked about, you mentioned sadness might be a thing that we may be experiencing, men, women, anybody. Yeah. But fear and anxiety may also be a thing. Men can have insecure attachments too. And so if you're a man, I'm by the way, I'm plugging for more men to listen to me. If you know any men in your life who you think would benefit from listening to Bruna and I, please share this podcast with them. Have them go to YouTube and subscribe to the thing and come hang out with us, you know, often to talk about how to love each other more fiercely, because we need more love in the world. Bruna, we need more love in the world.
The love is here already. We just need to recognize it.
Oh God, this is... This is why Bruna's here. Ariana says, sometimes people that trigger you do it for their own gain. So that's the manipulation piece, I think maybe she's talking about. Maybe they understand, they think they understand something about you. That's fucking scary to me. You can't be in a space of gaslighting or like trickery and fucking smoke and mirrors, okay? If you can pull that shit off and you're manipulating someone, stop it. All right, yeah. Go get some couples therapy. But
that feels more like a power dynamic.
No, it is. Well, but it gets into all this fucking darkness shit too.
That's part of their shadow.
That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, that's what you said. I'm just telling you, I'm just saying what Bruna's already said. Jess says classic maybe narcissistic behavior. And it is, and there are, and some of my clients are. Ladies and gentlemen, we all have a lot of work to do. We're all confused. We're all trying to figure it out. If we're talking about normal heterosexual relationships, Bruna, I don't know if you agree with me, but we are redefining the norms, the cultural norms together actively. And we both, everyone has to be active in redefining the norms so that we can be more emotionally vulnerable and like be okay with all the wildness that we bring to each other. The dark parts too.
Yeah. Otherwise it is all just a show. And the show can only last so long before it comes to the ending credits. And you got to figure out if that show was worth watching and being a part of.
Yes.
And so, you know, again, all you can't control anyone else. All you can do is hold responsibility and accountability. And again, this is a double Capricorn speaking. I literally came out of the womb responsible. Like, and so I hold myself to a very high standard. And yes, sometimes that bleeds to other people and I hold other people to a high standard. But at the same time, it's just a matter of recognizing none of us are perfect. We have all had very different upbringings, experiences, ideas of what love is, what love isn't, taught what it is. And so we've kind of just become very comfortable with these assumptions that everyone is like us. Or if we have one similarity, then you must be just like me. And the second you start acting any way that isn't familiar to me, it's like something's wrong. Yeah. What are you doing? Or we fill in the gap with our own assumptions instead of asking for clarity and like creating room for that intimacy to grow, you know? And so just be mindful of how you're showing up. And if someone else is showing up in a way, get curious. Don't assume that you know their intentions, what they're doing. And I'm guilty of this. Like I've definitely done this. It's much easier to deal with an unfortunate circumstance by slapping a label on it that you know is tried and true.
Yeah.
Because again, the ego loves repetition. It's safe. It's like, oh, we don't have to think right now because we know how this goes. So we'll just assume position and just execute. Mm-hmm. But if that's not healthy, and usually it's not, then you need to be conscious of breaking the pattern and writing a new story or creating room to see how it unfolds without you just doing what you know how to do because you know how to do it.
I'm listening to Bruna, so I hope you are. I'm going to take her advice, and I hope you are. Bruna, I think that's all for us this week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining Bruna and I. I think Bruna's going to come back maybe for one more show and just see if, you know, she likes hanging out here at A Better Love Project. Join me, ladies and gentlemen, for a 10 minutes of mindful breathing every day at 9 a.m. Pacific time at A Better Love Project on TikTok. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Dr. Greg, with the one and only Bruna Nassif in Los Angeles, California. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next time.